be in the presence of God, that he cares about us and that he's paying attention. You can be seated and introduce our preacher. We have a guest minister here today, and I'm excited about this. And a short list of people that I prayed about when we first got going, Sister Kendra and I talked about, we wanted to come preach, and in the very first conversation we had, and that short list of ministers, when I say short, I mean like less than 8 ministers. We had a young, budding, future conference speaker who we're expecting to do great things in the state of Michigan and international ministry. And his name is Daniel Parsons. And they have been helping out with us from the very beginning. And Daniel and Mariah have been wonderful, and the Livonia youth have been wonderful in helping out with our setup and with our worship team and everything they're doing. But I also just really enjoy listening to this guy teach the Bible. He's got a gift. He has a calling on his life, and I don't think he's aware of it yet. So we in the ministry keep bringing it up in the hopes that we can sink this thought into his head deeper, because he's heading somewhere. So, Brother Daniel, I want you to have liberty, share the word, preach to us in Jesus' name. I love you and I appreciate you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good?
Amen.
Don't you love what you feel in this place, that spirit just come in this room and just sweep over? And God is good. God is good. God is good. I do want to thank Pastor Scott and his wife. I don't think I would, honestly, I don't think I would be maybe even where I am today without their influence in my life. You know, them coming back to Livonia, I don't know if, obviously, if they didn't answer the call in their life, we would even be here today. And Livonia would probably look a little different. South Lyon, obviously, would look different. But, again, I give them honor for even the privilege and for believing in me that I might be able to do something even little in the kingdom of God. And I want to give them honor today. Also want to thank my wife. She is my rock, really. I would not be up here this morning if she did not. She spent time with me last night preparing this, getting this ready. I told her, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Because this right here, this is not me. Getting up in front of people and speaking and doing this, this is not. If you would have told me this years ago that I would be up here today, no way. No way. But God is doing some great things. He's doing some great things in our youth in Livonia. I'm excited about what he's doing there. And he is pushing each and every one of us to do something for the kingdom of God. If you just give a little bit of yourselves to the kingdom of God, and you will be amazed at where he will take you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I've learned that you may not know what God is calling you to do. You may not know exactly what the direction you're supposed to go, but if just start doing something, pour yourself into something, and you will hear the voice of God more by just doing something for the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer one more time. I need His anointing to be upon me. Let's pray that God would prepare our minds and prepare our hearts to receive what he has for us today. Jesus, right now, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would sweep through this place today, God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your anointing, Lord, would be upon me this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, would take over in this place today, God. Lord, prepare our hearts, God, prepare our minds, God, Lord, that we can receive the word that you have for us here today. Everybody say in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
In Jesus' name. If you all would like to stand for the reading of the word, we're going to start with John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 31. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're going to hop down a couple verses, down to 36. Very, very familiar verse here. It says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. As you're seated, look to your neighbor and tell ask him, are you free? Are you free? Are you free? Amen. So today I'm going to be talking to you from a title, Free Range Christian. A free range Christian. How many of you here like chicken? Chicken. How many people don't like chicken? Brother Scott. If I was to make a list of people that would have raised their hands about not liking chicken. Chicken is fantastic. I love chicken. You got grilled chicken, fried chicken, chicken sandwiches, chicken nuggets, chicken tenders, chicken. Amen. Can we get an amen in the house? Woo. Praise the Lord. Chicken and rice, chicken pot pie. Now, when I was preparing for the message, I don't do this very often. I was like, God, I need something to, I need to talk to the hearts of the people. I need to really get their attention. I needed to, for a sermon, I need their attention if they're going to hear what I have to say. It's like, well, food. If you really want to get a hold of people, you talk about food. So today we're talking about chicken. Even before service, we were having an argument about who had the best chicken. I personally love Chick-fil-A. They have the best spicy chicken sandwich. That's my favorite. Me and Silas over there debating. He likes Popeyes. How many guys are Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A, anybody? I personally have never had Popeyes, so I can't. Was anybody even lucky enough to even get one of the Popeyes chicken sandwiches when they came out? Like, I hear that they were all the rave, but nobody even, I talked to everybody, and they're like, no, I didn't get one. I think they sold out. But in America, we love chicken. The U.S., the poultry industry is the largest in the world. We are the second largest exporter of chicken. And we are a major egg producer as well. We consume more chicken than anybody else in the world. It's said that the average person will eat 90 pounds of chicken in a year. Yeah, that's one Tyler a year. More than a Tyler. Some have said it was hard to find some actual numbers on them, but some have said that comes out to about 26 chickens that one person will eat in a year. One of the other things that we are beginning to see a rise in is organic. How many of you guys eat organic food? It has been. I'm more of a budget person myself. Whatever's the cheaper one, that's what I will tend to go towards. But I've had a great influence. My wife has influenced me. I have. What we get in the house is usually more organic than not, but we've seen a rise in the demand for organics. They're cleaner food. They're better health, better for the environment. There are so many organic options now that we have. You can have organic for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and you see it. Every time you go to the store, you see organic. It's almost plastered on every single thing that you can buy now. Pretty soon, we'll probably see an organic Twinkie or something. I mean, it's just all over the place. Any type of thing you can get organic. And we see this with our chickens. We see this with our eggs. You go buy a chicken, it's cage-free, vegetarian-fed, no hormones, free range. All of this stuff seems to be a much healthier option than going out and just buying a regular chicken at the store. You see these words on these packaging, and you're like, I'm going to buy that. Even though it's a dollar or two more, you're, okay, I'm going to go buy the cage-free eggs, free-range eggs. They're brown. They look healthier. But the reality is that a cage-free, for instance, a cage-free chicken is, it is cage-free, yes. But in reality is they're still kept in these big warehouses with thousands of other chickens, and they have like this much space to move around because there's just so many of them in there. They never go outside. They never can do the things that a chicken does. Walk outside. I don't know what chickens do. Hop, walk, skip, eat grass and bugs and stuff. So they're cage-free, yes, but they're still confined to the warehouse and still confined in these small spaces. Free range, which is what we're going to talk about today. Free range, that brings to mind that the chicken is outside. It's just enjoying the beautiful day, the breeze coming through, the sunlight, just getting all of its vitamin D from the sun. But the reality is that free range, the only regulation that there is to be able to label something free range is that they have access to the outside. It's that they only have access to the outside. So you have these larger producers of chickens and eggs. They live by the letter of the law and not really by the spirit of what that regulation is supposed to entail. So what they'll do is that they'll just put a small little door or a window or something in the warehouse and say, well, they have access to the outside, so therefore we can now label our stuff as free range. So in reality, it may be labeled as free range, but you could be getting essentially a cage-free chicken, a chicken that has still never gone, because they don't want them to go outside. It's much quicker and easier for them if they all just stay inside, so they don't encourage the chickens to go outside, to go out and explore nature. And what we're going to talk about today, I believe that many of us, we are living as though we have access to freedom, but we're not really living in freedom. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about freedom. What is freedom? What does it really mean to be free? The dictionary, the definition is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants, without hindrance or restraint. The state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. It is through the name of Jesus that we are set free. It is through him that we have freedom. It is by the Spirit by which we have freedom. I do have a lot of scriptures here today. I did hear a friend of mine say, you know, as I preach, if I just preach a lot of scripture, it can't be bad. So we do have a lot of scriptures here today. In Romans 8 and verse 2, it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Again, look to your neighbor and ask them, are you free? Are you free? It is by the Spirit of God that we are set free. I believe that many of us are living as though we have access to it. We have access to freedom, but we live our lives not free. You could almost argue that freedom and being free are not the same thing. You can have the ability to do something, but yet you're not really doing it. If we do not live by the Spirit, if we are not led in our lives every single day, if we do not let God work in us to set us free, we allow the enemy to come in. And he will captivate us. He will captivate our time. He will captivate our minds. But when that happens, Isaiah 59 tells us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. The Spirit of God is what's going to fight our battles for us. He will raise up a standard against the enemy. I feel too many times we allow the enemy to just come in and take free reign, especially in our minds. I've been feeling personally, maybe it's just me personally, I've felt an attack in my mind just of the enemy coming in, and sometimes we allow that. Sometimes we allow the enemy to come in, and we have these thoughts of just things that make us sad, depressed, worried about life. The Bible says when the Spirit of the when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. So we must have the Spirit in our lives, and we must be led by the Spirit. And it's time for you to make a stand and to push the enemy back and say, you know what, no longer am I just gonna dwell on these thoughts. And you need to begin to speak the name of Jesus against that. There's power when we begin to speak the name of Jesus. Well, most of the time, the enemy has been invited into where we are. He's been invited into our thoughts. He's been invited into our life. We wonder why we're dealing with these thoughts of fear, thoughts of depression, thoughts of just anxiety and worriness all the time. We've got to guard our minds. We've got to guard what we watch. We've got to guard what we hear, what we ingest. What are we allowing to be in our lives? In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves then to God." We've got to be submitted to God. It says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." In order for the enemy to flee, we've got to resist. We've got to put up. We've got to put up and we got to fight back. And submission is not easy. Submission is a hard thing to do. We've got to get our flesh under control and say, you know what, I'm submitting myself to God and his word. Many of us, I feel, are living as a free-range Christian. We have access to, but we're not living it. We have access to freedom, but we're not living as though we are free. We have access to peace, but yet my life isn't peaceful. We have access to joy, but yet my life isn't full of joy. We have access to forgiveness, but though we live our lives as though we're not forgiven. Romans 8 and 1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Everyone here has a past. Everyone here is a sinner. For the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. I feel that too many times we allow the enemy to come in and put condemnation on us. He comes and he will just captivate our minds again about things that we've done in the past, things that we've repented for, things that we are forgiven for. So we have access to it. We can understand forgiveness. We can pull up every scripture in the Bible about forgiveness. We can Google forgiveness, and there will be hundreds of scriptures. We can see it. We can talk about it. Maybe even be able to tell somebody else about it. But yet we can see it, we can talk about it, but yet we don't live as though we are forgiven. And we allow the enemy to come in and just beat us up all the time about something that you've done in your past, and God is saying, I've delivered you. You are free from that. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God is going to raise up a standard against him. And we need to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Amen? Amen. Romans 8 and 6. Again, a lot of scripture. I don't have a new word for you here today. I have an old word for you. Old is good. I don't need to come in here with new fancy words, a new revelation of what God can do for you. We need to get into the Word of God. And when the enemy comes in, we need to fight back with the Word of God and say, you know what, there is no more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Devil, flee from me. I resist these thoughts. I resist these thoughts of unforgiveness, of unworthiness. If you feel unworthy here today, I got news for you. You are. I am unworthy of what he has given me. I am unworthy, devil. For he who has the Son has set free is free indeed. It's time for us to live as though we are free. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. We have got to get our minds on Jesus. We've got to focus in on him. If we do not, we allow opportunity for the enemy to come in. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Our relationship with God is not based on how I feel. Our relationship with God is based, I should have brought a Bible up here with me, is based on the Word of God. Many people in the church, they claim so little of what God can do for them and what God is capable of doing in their lives and what God wants to do in their lives. The Word of God is an instrument by which His Spirit operates. If we want the Spirit to do a work in our lives, we've got to study the Word of God. You've got to dig into the Word of God. If you want to know what it can do for you, you've got to read your Word. You've got to understand it. In the first chapter of James, it says, do not merely listen to the Word and deceive yourselves. Do what the Word says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Don't live as a free-range Christian. Don't come to church and listen to the Word of God. Don't have access to the things of God, but yet you never do what God is commanding you to do. James is telling us that we need to be doers of the Word of God. We can't just hear what the word has to say. If we don't apply it to our lives, it has no effect on us. The Bible is full of scriptures telling us to live in the Spirit by faith. Again, our relationship with God is not based on how you feel. It's not based, just because you feel lost one day does not mean that you were lost. We've got to get back to the Word of God. We are living as free-range Christians. I'm here to tell somebody today that God wants to set you free. If you have never been set free before, God wants to set you free. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you need to. That is where true freedom is when you are led by the Spirit, and the God comes in and He fills your body with His Spirit, and now you can be led by the Spirit of God. And He wants to do that for you today. He wants to do that for you today. He wants to be a part of your life. He loves you and He cares for you. He doesn't want you to be living in sin, living with these thoughts in your mind. He wants to free your mind today. I'm actually going to wrap up. I know Pastor before service told me that Pastor Harper has the record for the longest sermon here at FAC. I told him I'm not even going to come near that today. But I've been feeling this throughout the last couple of weeks, that we put up with too much from the enemy. We allow him to come into our minds and just beat us up all the time, day after day. You're no good. Remember that thing that you did? Yeah, you're just a dirty sinner. You're unworthy of what God can do. God is asking you to go. You think you're going to go over there and do that for the kingdom of God? No, you can't do that. You're unworthy. And we dwell on these thoughts all the time. And God is telling us here today that you have been set free. For he who the Son has set free is free today. If the musicians can come, I'm going to wrap up with the story. It's the story of the freedom parrot. I know it's not a chicken. I wish it was a chicken. It would have went really well with my sermon here today. Short story about the freedom parrot. So the story goes that there's this freedom fighter. He's up in the mountains fighting for freedom. And he comes into this house looking for rest. And he comes in and he's looking for a place to just to lay his head. And he sees before he goes in that there's a parrot over in a cage. And the freedom fighter, he goes in and he lays down and he's just trying to get some sleep, and he's laying there, and this parrot all through the night, just I don't want to try and do a parrot voice, but freedom, freedom. Constantly this parrot throughout the night and throughout the day, freedom, freedom. The freedom fighter, not able to get some sleep, he finally goes over to the cage. He tries to reach in, and he's going to set the parrot free. So the parrot starts pecking at his hand, starts fighting at him. Eventually, the freedom fighter, he grabs a hold of the parrot and just throws it out of the cage. And the bird flies off into the mountains, just flies away. And the freedom fighter, he feels like he has done something great. He has set something free. So he goes back and lays down, eventually falls asleep. Wakes up the next morning and the parrot is sitting right back in the cage. The parrot's sitting there in the cage with the door wide open. And I feel that's many of us here today. God has set us free from whatever it is that you're struggling with. But yet we find ourselves living back where we were, with the door wide open. And God is saying, you have been set free. Live in freedom. Live in forgiveness. Live in joy. Live in peace. If we could all stand here today. In Galatians 5 and 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Christ has set us free. We are no longer slaves. But yet we find ourselves returning to an open cage. We find ourselves returning back to the way things were. We see in the story of the Israelites, it's just a valley for them. It's up and down. They find themselves in freedom, and then they find themselves back in bondage. God delivers them again. They find themselves in freedom. Then they find themselves back in bondage. When the Israelites find themselves back in bondage, the only thing that they could do is cry out to God. I believe God is calling us here today to call back unto Him. God is calling us back to repentance. I don't know if you feel comfortable. If you feel comfortable coming up to the front here today, but I believe that God wants to release somebody here today. He wants to free somebody's mind in this place. What bondage have you been returning back to here today? What has the enemy been reminding us of? Just tearing us down. Let's lift our hands and begin to ask God to if you haven't been delivered, pray that God would deliver you from the things, Lord, that you are struggling with. God, free our minds here in this place here today. God, you have not called us to live in bondage, Lord, but you are calling us to freedom. God, you want us to live in peace, God. Lord, you want us to live with joy, God. God, we come against the enemy right now, Lord. We come against the thoughts of condemnation, Lord, that beat us up every single day. God, it's not by how we feel, Lord, but it's by your word that we are set free, God. For he who the Son has set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, Lord God, right now, God, Lord, take our minds, God, Lord, free us. Free us here today, God. God, Lord, let your spirit move in this place today, Lord. We want to be led by your spirit. God, we want your spirit to saturate us, God. We've got to be filled by your presence every single day. God, guard our minds, Lord, from the attack of the enemy. God, Lord, you said that you were going to fight our battles for us. God, help us to resist the enemy here today. God, you are going to raise up a standard against him.